We have so many tasty fish available to us here in the Midwest, and today we're going to be talking about some great new ways to prepare them. Larry Mueller here, great to have you along on the Ideas Network. On the phone with me from Minneapolis is Kian Amdahl. He is a social media specialist, food writer, and blogger, and his new book is called Lakefish: Modern Cooking with Freshwater Fish. I'll talk a little bit about the history of fishing in the Upper Great Lakes and how we may be able to commercialize lakefish a little bit more and take a look at some really good-looking recipes. You may have a favorite lakefish. How do you like to prepare it? Join in our conversation. Number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Send us an email at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Love to hear from you. And Kian Amdahl, welcome to the show. Thanks for taking time to be with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
I tell you what, I opened your book, and the first page, I look and I see this photo of catfish and bacon benedicts, and it looks so good. Oh, my word. There's a lot of great photography in it. But lakefish and jet, how do you define lakefish?
Well, I mean, the book is called Lakefish, but obviously, you know, I use trout, so there's, you know, river fish, and there's fish from Lake Superior. Really, it's just basically any sort of freshwater fish is, I would say, is my kind of basic definition.
And, you know, I think if you think about what we do eat, and here in Wisconsin, I don't know how, I expect it may be true in Minnesota as well, we eat a lot of fish on Friday nights.
You know, we do as well. I don't think it's something that we do as often as we used to. You know, I'm very familiar with the Wisconsin fish fry. I've done, been to many myself, and it is something that I remember doing growing up a lot more frequently here, but it's something that we see a lot less, and if it is done, it's frequently done with, you know, some kind of ocean fish like cod or haddock, things like that. We don't use our local species quite like you guys do, which is sad because there's such a great resource that, you know, everybody around here loves and we all respect. We like going out and fishing during the summer and doing our own home fish fries, but it's not something that it just doesn't happen as frequently as it once did.
Yeah, there's some nice places in Madison where you can go and have your choice of bluegill or walleye or perch or catfish on a Friday night, and it's really wonderful to be able to sample all of those. But I think the most popular seafood, I believe you're right about, is shrimp.
Right, that is correct. That's you know, I think the statistic is something along the lines of shrimp is the most popular, you know, in terms of sales, and it actually outsells the next two most popular behind it, which are salmon and canned tuna. So shrimp outsells both of those combined. It's just something that we have placed a lot of value on. It's a, you know, I love shrimp, but there's other things out there, and the shrimp fisheries are often real heavily overfished, so it's kind of time we start reevaluating and looking at some of our, you know, seafood and fish options and I think how we approach them.
Yeah, I think you're right about that. It is kind of important to know where that seafood comes from.
Mm-hmm.
We have already callers online with some questions for you, and I'm going to go to Sean in Oakfield because he has a question that I'm sure you will be interested in. Hi, Sean. Thanks for calling.
Oh, thanks for having me. Appreciate the show, and avid fisherman. And I have a recipe, and I want to know if there's a better one out there for largemouth bass.
Okay.
And what I do is I take a box of corn flakes, and, you know, after soaking the bass in saltwater brine just to get that, you know, dirty taste out of it and everything else. And what I do is I leave it sit overnight in the fridge, and then I eat the cardboard box that the cornflakes came in.
Well, I tell you what, you should take a look, Sean, at Kian's book, because you start with, I think you start with bass, don't you?
Yeah, I've got quite a few largemouth bass recipes in here, and it's one of those fish. It's really funny, and talking to some of the people and kind of doing this book and talking about bass, you know, we've kind of got the thing here in Minnesota too, where it's a fish that people love to sport fish. It's great for that. But when it comes to eating, a lot of people kind of turn their nose up to it. They're not interested. It's not considered a real great eating fish. But I disagree entirely. I think it lends itself real well to eating. It's a nice meaty fish. It's got kind of a nice sweet meat to it. There's just a lot. It works really well with, like, you know, butter-based applications, obviously. So I think it's just something that's there's a lot of stigma around certain species, and it's one of the things I really wanted to kind of break through with this book.
You have, for example, something totally different that I hadn't thought about, bass and mushroom noodle soup that looks delicious.
Sure, yeah, and it's basically like just like a kind of an Asian-style, you know, noodle soup. It's got a real deep, rich, hearty broth. I think it's like a beef-based broth with lots of mushrooms, so it's real earthy and robust, but the kind of the sweetness of the fish pairs really well with it. It goes really, you know, it kind of helps the fish to pop a little bit and stand on its own.
Yeah, and you've got beer-battered fish and chips. You've got crispy bass and basil stir-fry. That sounds and looks really good as well. That's
better than basically 95% of the takeout that you'll ever get right there. That was probably one of my favorite dishes in the book. It's the basil and the bass and the onions just work so beautifully together. It's kind of hard to understate that one.
Yeah, and it's as you say in the book, it packs a huge punch in the flavor department.
Yes, it does.
The basil, I would think the basil would add a lot to it, and you've got some jalapeno in there, too.
Yeah, you got to give a little kick. You know, a lot of these recipes, though, they're designed to kind of, it's the kind of thing where if you don't like jalapenos or you don't like spicy food, you could easily omit it and make the same thing. But I encourage people to play with these recipes and kind of make them their own. And that would be a good one where if you didn't have jalapenos or didn't want to use them, you certainly could omit it, but I think it tastes pretty awesome with.
Oh, crispy bass and basil stir fry. I looked at that and I thought, I've got to get out and catch some bass so I could try that one out for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Conrad in La Crosse, your turn. Hi, Conrad.
Hi, Larry.
Hi.
How are you guys doing?
Great. Appreciate the call.
I love your show. I wish we had it where I'm from, but I happen to be in Wisconsin at the moment. And wow, what a good double hitter you've had with the physics, and now some freshwater fish. I appreciate this is part of my expertise. I'm a chef, and more specifically, a wilderness chef. And I cook for hunters and fishermen in their camps and on the rivers, and I work from Key West to the mountains of Wyoming. So I got a pretty good spread on the species. And I have this approach to the salmonoid fish, which, you know, of course, is the salmon, the Arctic char, and all the trout species. And it's something I cling to, and I don't deviate from it because it is perfect from front to back, and it's something that has developed in my life from my teenage years, fishing till past dark, and then overcooking my trout in some aluminum foil and holding the flashlight with my cheek and my shoulder and picking bones out of foiled trout around the campfire. And so years later, then I went to culinary school and now have got years of experience with all these things. And when it comes to trout, there is this relationship between the skin, the fat, and the meat and the bones. And in between, surrounding all the muscle and the meat, is this layer of fat because they're cold water fish. And you can even see the colder the water, the more fat they'll pack on to protect themselves. And so this trout, you know, once you've reeled it in. And you can leave the head on it, or you can cut the head off. And now trout don't have scales like some of the other fish I'm talking about. But they do have this skin that's not really very palatable. And they have these very small bones that are easily passed down your throat. And I've had one caught in my throat, and it is not fun. So the whole method is to get the meat away from the bones and the skin in the most efficient manner. And what I like to do, if I have all my tools and supplies, is the spray fat is brilliant stuff for our modern world. You know, it could be olive oil, coconut oil, vegetable oil, but the spray puts on such a fine layer of that fat, and you can rub it on with a paper towel if you have bacon fat, if that's what you have. Anyway, so you get some fat on that skin, and then you get it on a hot fire or in a pan right away, and you get that skin to harden up a little bit. And what happens after it sizzles is the fat between the muscle and the skin melts. And so now you've got a crispy skin on the outside and this liquid layer of fat between the skin and the meat. And then you want to continue to cook it and flip it over. You know, don't flip it right away or the skin will stick to whatever you're cooking it on, but give it a few minutes. And then if you continue to cook it, the fat between the bones and the meat will liquefy. And now at this point, it's perfectly cooked. You can say later, after you separate it, you can make trout cakes or whatever. You can continue to cook it. But at this point, the cartilage that holds the bones together is not cooked. All this fat is liquefied, and the meat's ready to slide off of that bone. So as the fish is laying in front of you, you can peel back that skin, and with a fork, you can slide the meat off the bone in both directions and leave the skeleton intact.
That's a nice method.
Every sailor knows that you shouldn't turn that fish over and eat the other side of it. You grab a little bit of the tail that's crispy, and you peel it up out of the remaining meat. So one side you've separated with a fork. The other side is left on your cutting board, plate, whatever you happen to be. And you peel that skeleton right up out of there. And you can see now, you can hold the skeleton in front of you and see every bone is intact. And you're positive now that you're not passing on a bone to your clients or yourself or your children.
Oh my goodness me! It sounds wonderful, doesn't it, Kian?
No, absolutely. That's a great technique. I've absolutely done that, and it does work really well. It keeps the meat super juicy and moist, and yeah, the bone really does, you know, kind of pull right out that way.
Oh, it sounds wonderful. Thank you, Conrad.
Good job, guys.
Yeah, good talking to you. Really appreciate it. Well, we're you can join in too, by the way. We are visiting with Kian Amdahl, who is a social media specialist and is the author of this latest book. It's called Lake Fish, Modern Cooking with Freshwater Fish. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. Taking a look today at a new book that looks at new and different ways to prepare freshwater fish. There are recipes like barbecued northern and Cajun fried rice and sunfish pot stickers, among others. And our guest is the author, Kian Amdahl, who has written Lake Fish, Modern Cooking with Freshwater Fish. Maybe you have a favorite freshwater fish you want to talk about. Do you experiment with your fish recipes, or do you use the same one all the time? What questions do you have about cooking fish? I hope you'll join in. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. Can email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And, Kian, you've, I tell you what, you're the photographer for this book as well, I guess, and you have the photography. I love cookbooks that have great photos, and you've done a marvelous job with it. Maybe you could talk about how your book is organized.
Sure. Well, we went about it, you know, we wanted to kind of organize it and separate it out by species instead of kind of by recipe. So, you know, starts with bass, ends with whitefish. But, you know, beyond that, there's kind of all sorts of different things in there in terms of, you know, entrees and appetizers and salads and soups. And, you know, you really can find the whole spectrum here. And I just wanted to go about it in a way where, you know, I cook a lot. I really enjoy cooking, and I love food from all over the world. And so I wanted to bring lake fish kind of into some of these other things and things that I just enjoyed eating. So things like the bass spring rolls. You know, that's something you'll go into a lot of Vietnamese restaurants and get, and it'll, you know, usually you get it with shrimp. You know, so it's like, well, you know, in this case, why don't we just sub out the shrimp with bass?
Yeah.
You know, and it, the end results, you know, was always excellent.
Yeah, it is. And I looking at some of these recipes, and I got to try this grilled northern with apple and green onion refried farro. That sounded wonderful to me.
It's such a nice, I mean, northern is a great eating fish. That's another one that gets that stigma of being specifically a game fish that people catch because they don't want to deal with the bones. But honestly, in this day and age, I mean, you go to YouTube and you'll find four or five different really great ways to clean northern that are not difficult. And you'll get a really nice boneless fillet. Might take a little bit of practice, but then again, you know, some of those fillets that maybe don't come out so pretty, there's recipes in the book for that too, things like the northern nuggets.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got a fillet that's a little, you know, not as pretty as you might like to serve, you know, you cut it up and you know, turn it into a snack. You know, it's real good for that kind of thing.
I agree. As you think about cooking, obviously you've cooked a lot of fish and you're prepared a lot of fish in your days. Is there a mistake that people most often make with cooking fish?
I think it's that they're just too afraid. Everybody's just so afraid of, you know, the fish sticking. And it's kind of like anything else. You know, if you've got your hot pan and you've got, you know, kind of the right amount of fat, that fish is going to let go of that pan when it's ready. But people want to poke at it before, and then the fish winds up breaking and falling apart in the pan. And, you know, if you let it just sit and cook and do its thing, it will develop that nice golden brown crust that you want on the top, and once it does that, it will release from the pan. So I think that is far and away just, it's just the fear of the fish, and people really need to get over that, because it is, it's one of the easiest proteins to cook at home. It's so fast, it's so versatile. I mean, it's same as, you know, with ocean fish as it is lake fish. It's healthy, it's accessible, and it is something you want to eat more of, but it's fear that keeps us away.
Give a call with your questions or comments or maybe experiences with cooking fish at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at ideas@wpr.org or post on the Larry Mueller Show Facebook page. And, you know, in this part of the world, I mean, we have quite a history, and you do write a little bit about history of our region, and fish have played an important role in the history of our region.
Absolutely, and it's, you know, it's something we know here. We, you know, most people, again, like I said, we do have a fishing culture, and it's something that, you know, I don't think is embraced as fully as it should be. You know, we always want to catch the fish, and we want to do, you know, the big fish fries, which is great. I mean, I have nothing, there's nothing wrong with that. I had some of my best memories growing up were doing exactly that, you know, sitting on the boat all day long, catching just piles of panfish and then cleaning them and just doing a big fry. But there's just so much more to it than that. You know, in fact, you look at, sort of look around the world and you look at all of the big fishing cultures, and all of them have some variation on like a fish stew, like a fisherman's stew. It's just,
yeah,
it's kind of an interesting global phenomenon. But here, in I don't know if I can speak entirely for Wisconsin, but in Minnesota, you say fish stew and people automatically turn up their nose.
Yeah.
Like, what is that? That sounds awful. It's like, no, it's very much a classic dish. So in the book, I've got a recipe called the Minnesota Fisherman Stew, which uses just a variety of different lake fish. It's kind of a use what you have on hand sort of recipe.
Yeah.
That it's a tomato sort of base, like you'd see almost in a San Francisco style, like chiapino or a Spanish sucrete. You know, both of those are great kind of classic fisherman stews. But I gave it kind of a little bit of a dill profile to give it kind of that Norwegian sort of Midwest flavor. And it's again, it's one of the best recipes in the book, but it's one of those things that people just have a stigma about, you know, fish and soup and fish and stew. We'll eat clam chowder, but that's about the extent of it.
Yeah. Ron in La Crosse has a question. Hi, Ron. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, a couple of questions. Would you recommend any type of spices or herb seasonings for what fish? And I didn't quite catch, you see, was talking, some caller came in about cooking trout, and he gave a rather detailed instructions. But he said you shouldn't flip the fish over. You should just let it cook on one side. That I want to know. And like I said, any seasonings, herbs, or anything, spices we should use.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as herbs and seasonings go, I mean, you can do basically whatever you want. I mean, it just depends on what you're making, you know, doing with the fish. You know, if you're cooking just plain fish, you know, sometimes basic salt and pepper is just the way to go. So to me, it kind of, the herbs and the spices that I use are all dictated by, you know, kind of the recipe that I'm going for, you know, what I'm trying to sort of turn that fish into. You know, in the book, I've got some curries and things like that, and, you know, I'll use some pretty exotic spices, you know, in Indian spice blends like garam masala, and the fish holds up real nice to that in that preparation. You know, if you're doing just grilling a fish, you know, your basic kind of barbecue spices, you know, things like paprika and cumin and, you know, some chili powder and stuff can work. If you're doing, like I said, that kind of grilled thing. Mm-hmm. But there's just so many different approaches that it's kind of hard to say, you know, I would use this herb with this fish, because you could really use any herb with any fish, just kind of depending on what you're doing.
Yeah. And what about flipping? I think Conrad, who was our earlier caller, was talking about preparing trout, but what about flipping a fish over?
Yeah, I heard him say something to that effect. I don't really know about not flipping it over. You know, I know, like, when I'm cooking fish, I do usually do most of the cooking on one side, but that's typically with a fillet.
Yeah.
When it comes to doing a whole fish like a trout, I wasn't real sure what he meant about not flipping. Because usually, I know a technique he's talking about where you get the real hard kind of sear on the skin to get it nice and crispy, and then the fat kind of soaks into the meat, and then you sort of slice down the back, and then you can peel the skin away, and then the bone will slide, or the meat will slide off the bone on the one side. And once you do that, you can lift the bone off the back side. I don't know about not cooking it on the other side, though. If you're cooking on a hot enough thing and you've got it covered, you know, the fish might just be able to steam itself through or cook itself through that way. Maybe that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, that could be. But you would flip the fish over, but after you would wait. You wouldn't.
Yeah, I would cook it probably mostly on the one side and get this, you know, get it really going hard, and then flip it over to just kind of finish it through.
Yeah.
Like I said, that technique works really well with doing a lot of different types of whole fish, not just trout.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks, Ron, for calling. Jane in Superior, it's your turn. Hi, Jane.
Hi. I love fish stew. and I wanted to ask another question about trout. My husband got some beautiful lake trout out of Lake Michigan, and it seems that we froze some of them. We tried to use them, but then, you know, now as we use the freezer ones, they're kind of like freezer burnt, and I'm just wondering if you have a suggestion for lake trout and freezing and or cooking freezer burnt fish.
Mm. Well, you know, the fish is going to be, that's the kind of thing where if it's maybe a little bit, if it's been sitting in the freezer a little bit too long, a fish stew, you know, is a good way to deal with that kind of thing, or a fish soup. But obviously after a certain point, you know, the fish probably just isn't going to taste very good. It's not going to have a good texture. So it's kind of gets a little questionable on whether you'd want to eat it or not after a certain point. But again, if it's just a little bit over or whatever, I love doing the fisherman stew in the book would be perfect for that sort of thing. And help kind of revitalize and bring a little bit of freshness back to that fish that's maybe a little bit older.
If you freeze fish, now I'm thinking about myself, we used to catch a lot of panfish and too many that you could eat and you want to freeze them for later. We used to throw them in an empty milk carton, fill it up with water, and then freeze it that way. And
freeze
it would.
Freeze it in a block?
Yeah, freeze it in a block. And I'm telling you, it lasts a long, long time, and you're not going to get freezer burn with it.
That's an interesting trick. I've never tried that.
It works really, really well, and it's the best method I know, really, to do it. If you're going to be keeping the fish for a long, long time, because typically, you know, a few months in the freezer is about it for fish, but you can have fish done that way or frozen that way, and a year or two later, you're not going to have any problems. At least I haven't.
I like that. I like that technique. I might have to try that this summer.
Yeah, just stay away. You know, empty. Hang on to your milk carton. Clean it. Got to rinse it out, and then throw your panfish in there. Fill it up with water and freeze it. You'll be happy with the result. Stephen in Waterford, hi.
How you doing?
Great, appreciate the call. What's on your mind?
Well, I wanted to demystify the carp issue. I see some people that eat it, some people smoke it and eat it. Does he have recipes in his book for that kind of a fish?
You know what? Originally, when I was looking at doing this book, I did want to include that. And I did want to sort of venture into some of those fringe species, because I have, you know, I've actually eaten some of the Asian carp, and it's actually quite good. This book does not have recipes for that, though. We decided ultimately to stick to the fish that are a little bit more common that people tend to catch and have on hand, because people who don't fish, you know, sourcing these species is hard enough as it is, and getting into some of the sourcing of some of that, and at least on a scale that I would need to do test the recipes for the book, just kind of got to be not real feasible. But I would have loved to really branch out into that. There's all kinds of other species, you know, both in Superior and in just Minnesota lakes and rivers that would have been great to work with and experiment with a little bit more. But unfortunately, we just didn't have the time to get into all that.
A couple of stories. The Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources published a little cookbook. This is a long time back, and I don't even know if there are copies available anymore. But it was all about cooking rough fish like carp. And they came up with a number of interesting recipes for it. And it was pretty well received at the time, but that's a long time back now. I had when I was in graduate school here, there was an Asian student who would catch carp, and he'd keep them alive, and he'd put them in his bathtub, and let them sit in the bathtub full of water for a couple of days, and then he'd eat the fish because he said that would clean the fish out and it would taste better.
Right, because they're sitting in the clean water and they're filtering in the clean water and, you know, sort of getting rid of all the stuff that's in their system. So that is definitely a way to I've actually heard of other people doing that before as well, or they'll have like a kind of tank that they'll use and fill with clean water and keep the carp in there to allow that meat to kind of clean itself, depending on where it came from.
Yeah. Thanks again, Stephen, for calling. Emmy in Neillsville, it's your turn. Hi, Emmy. Thank you for calling.
I just wanted to share, I do the same thing with my fish, only I put it in a plastic bag to freeze, add a little water to it, and it stays a long time. And then also, I go to Canada about 4 to 5 weeks a year, so I'm always looking for different fish recipes. I'm going to be excited to look at this book. And I just wanted to share, we get tired of fried fish, so we try all different kinds, like walleye, stuffed walleye fettuccine, walleye alfredo, baked walleye, creamed walleye, northern. One of my favorites, and simple, especially when you're going to Canada and you have limited kitchen facilities, is you just take a big pot of water and you're going to make alfredo sauce, but then to do your spaghetti and broccoli and fish, all you do is put it in a big container of boiling water, start boiling your spaghetti, and then about 3 minutes before it's done, you add your chopped up broccoli, and 1 minute before, you add your walleyes, and then you drain it and add your alfredo sauce. It works out wonderful.
Oh!
That sounds delicious.
That does sound really good.
I think in pasta and fish, again, it's one of those things, we'll eat pasta with seafood a lot, but when it comes to actual fish, it's kind of something that we don't see all that often. And, I've got a few of those recipes in the book. I've got a nice walleye and tomato pasta that's really, really delicious. I've got a sunfish with a dill cream, actually.
Mm.
So it's not probably too dissimilar to what you're talking about. Because it's similar-ish to an Alfredo, but it's got kind of that dill profile. But it works super well, and it's just really delicious.
Yeah.
And then the only other thing that I found for my fried fish that I just wanted to share, I tried to duplicate my mother's recipe for years and couldn't do it. But eventually I found the difference between her recipe and my recipe was the type of oil that I used, and I always use peanut oil.
Oh, yeah.
Peanut oil is great for frying fish. It's always going to give you that it's almost hard to pin down the flavor that it gives, but it really is the best for frying.
Also, it has a higher smoke point.
Yep.
So you can get the temperature up faster and higher, and it works out well for frying fish.
Mm. Emmy,
trick to do if you want to get that fish extra crispy is when you drop it in the fryer. If you're doing it like a beer batter style, you drop it in the fryer for a little bit until that batter just starts to kind of harden, and you can kind of, using like a spider or whatever, lift it out of the oil, and then you drizzle a little extra batter onto the filet, and then drop it back in the oil. So you get kind of a two layers of batter. It gives it that nice flaky sort of thing, and it comes out really, really sort of extra crispy that way.
Ooh.
Ooh, sounds good. Thank you for sharing.
Yeah, thank you, Emmy. I appreciate your call. Wally wondered about keeping breading from falling off the fish when you're cooking it.
That's a common problem, too. It usually comes from not drying the filet well enough first.
Ah.
You need to really get that filet good and dry, and then you want to rub it in your flour. And then, presuming you're doing an egg wash, you do the flour, the egg, and then the breadcrumbs. But that fish filet, that's another one of those really big mistakes that people make with fish, is they don't dry it enough. Wet fish doesn't want to cook as well, because when it hits the pan, it's basically got to cook off and evaporate off the water first before it starts doing what it needs to do. So the fish starts to boil really before it starts to sear. And then you run into some issues there.
Ah, that makes a lot of sense to me. Well, we have more callers online, but we are out of time. Kian, I want to thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. And your book is really chock full of great recipes. And I thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Thank you again so much for having me.
Yeah. Kian Amdahl is a social media specialist, food writer, and blogger, and his new book is called Lake Fish, Modern Cooking for Freshwater Fish. And we've got up on our Facebook page a look at the book, and also one of his recipes for walleye cakes. And that recipe's on our Facebook page, so you can go and take a look at the walleye cakes recipe. Oh, boy. Tomorrow on Garden Talk, Laura Jell back with us to talk about spring flowers. In the meantime, thanks so much for listening. Please stay with us. Lots more in store here on the Ideas Network.